What a day. What a day it's been around here. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Number one, we crowned a champion in our Maggie and Perloff TV sitcom bracket. Congratulations, Seinfeld. It's real and it's spectacular. Yeah. They won. No surprise, but it was a thorough domination of the bracket.
Yeah, I think Jerry would hate this entire thing and tell us we're stupid.
Seinfeld, that is not.
Yeah, Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah.
No, I don't think they would take any pride in this, but also, have you ever been around? We interviewed Jerry Seinfeld at Dan Patrick's show once. Mean.
Just really? Outright.
He said, "You're not funny." To all of us, except Dan, because Dan is funny. But and the way he said it, he wasn't saying it to be mean. He was just like, "I'm going to be honest." We showed him a skit we did. He's like, "Not good."
Well, I mean, be careful what you wish for. Yeah. Like, you're going to go to Seinfeld and ask, like, he's going to give you the truth.
It's like showing my throwing motion to Tom Brady. He's like, "I'm going to be honest with you, fellas. Nice effort. That's not funny."
That's awesome. So congrats to Seinfeld, whether they like it or not. They are the ones who win the Maggie and Perloff sitcom bracket. We've also been asking, who is the greatest college football player since 2000? This was a list that was put together by ESPN that Perloff and I disagreed with quite strongly. They had Ndamukong Suh number one. We didn't see it that way.
I don't mind Sue. It's number two.
Number two is Baker Mayfield, according to ESPN. We also did not see it that way. I have one and two being Tim Tebow and Reggie Bush. I feel rather confident in those two selections, and you have?
I went with Vince Young and Cam Newton. But you have to admit, Sue is like so outside the box that caught us off guard. It's a Baker Mayfield as the first quarterback on there?
I mean,
Baker
since Mayfield. 2000, like not since 2018 or whatever. Even that he wouldn't win.
I mean, so, the iconic moment of the entire 2000s is a Tim Tebow speech in my mind. So at least you have that. Yeah, not anything Baker did.
No, I mean, between Tebow and you mentioned Vince Young and Cam Newton and Joe Burrow. I mean, Baker doesn't get there. Johnny Manziel's not even on the list. Jameis Winston's not even on the list. They didn't even get honorable mention. So we've been asking you, who is the greatest college football player since the year 2000? And you're welcome to weigh in at 855-212-4227. We've got a lot of really good submissions, too. We've gotten some.
Oh, who are people saying?
Well, definitely a lot of Vince Young. We've gotten some Christian McCaffrey. We got a little Michael Vick. Boise checked in with a little Kellen Moore, a little Colt Brennan, Colt McCoy. we're covered on Colts. We've heard from everybody.
Yeah. I loved, you have to have the right name to be a quarterback. Colt McCoy is the greatest Texas quarterback name of all time. Colt McCoy.
See, that I could give to Baker Mayfield. That's also
now,
a good.
Colt? Like Colt 45? No way. Colt 45, a gunslinger from, he's from Friday Night Lights territory in Texas. He was the perfect Texas quarterback. The only thing that his downside was he was after Vince Young.
Tough shoes.
You don't want to follow Vince Young.
Yeah, that was
tough. He almost won a title, but he was a great player. It is it's interesting too. College football has changed so much. We're in the era of spread football, where if you start looking at stats from the year 2015, all of a sudden everybody. I mean, look, Justin Fields threw 41 touchdowns at Ohio State. Yep. Dwayne Haskins threw 50.
Yeah.
So as you look at these numbers, it's hard to judge anything on numbers.
It is. I mean, if we were just doing statistics, it'd have to be Burrow, right? As just in terms of throwing, he would be the best.
He had, I mean, can you have possibly a better season when undefeated through 60-something touchdowns?
Unreal. He's completing like 75% of his passes. Obviously, he was throwing to two incredible wide receivers as well.
But are we doing that thing where we know how good he is in the NFL? I mean, we know it. We can't forget that he's amazing in the NFL. So it has to affect your judgment a little bit.
I think it's still an all-time great season. I mean, Heisman, national championship. Like, yeah, he was the number one overall pick also and has lived up to it. But
we would talk about how he was throwing to Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson more if he was a bust in the NFL. We'd be like, oh, that was Ja'Marr Chase.
Maybe.
I mean, it's human nature. I think it's human nature. I mean, listen, there's two Pitt players in the top 25. Do you remember Pitt being in the Final Four of the college football playoff?
Well, they didn't have it when it was Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald, maybe.
2014.
But Larry Fitzgerald, they didn't have the college football playoff.
No, Donald missed it too. So, no. But it didn't matter. They weren't going to make it even if they did have it.
Oh, man. Okay, so you're welcome to weigh in. The greatest college football player since 2000. And now we've got to turn our attention to matters that are much more urgent. And that is Major League Baseball's trade deadline, which is around 5 o'clock Eastern tonight. Mark Feinsand is a senior reporter for MLB Network and MLB.com. Mark's one of our absolute favorites. He's also a fantastic author and a bestseller. Mark, thanks so much for the time today. How are you?
I'm good, my friends. How are you?
Great. So before we get into what we're going to see between now and 5 o'clock Eastern time, in your opinion, what has been the most impactful trade that has already gone down?
I probably think, I mean, the Cardinals adding Eric Fetty was big. They really needed a starter. I think if Jazz Chisholm can actually play third base, that's going to be a huge deal for the Yankees because they needed something to put out there in place of DJ LeMahieu, who has just been struggling terribly at the plate all season. And I really like the Randy Rosarena trade to Seattle. That team, their pitching is unbelievable. And when you think about the fact that they just can't hit, Rosarena is not the best hitter in the league, but he's a big upgrade for that team, and he's going to provide some energy as well. I like the fit there.
Mark, as you know, I'm a Phillies fan, and we are very much buyers this year. But I have a question about a seller. We make fun of the Chicago White Sox a lot. We're not fans of the way they've been doing it. Are there more players headed out today?
Yeah, I think Garrett Crochet probably gets moved, even with these bizarre contract demands. You know, his agency has said that he needs an extension in order to pitch in the playoffs, which if you're a contender, the goal is obviously to have him pitch in the playoffs. You know, he made that transformation to the bullpen, from the bullpen to the rotation this year, and he's already thrown more innings than he has in his entire professional career combined. So his plan in his mind was to go through September, stay in the rotation, pitch a certain number of innings, and then be done. And I guess he feels like he might be putting his health, you know, in jeopardy if he pitches in October. So he wants an extension. So that's complicated things a little bit, but he's still one of the best arms out there. And I do expect him to get traded. You know, Paul DeJong may get traded. I don't think Luis Robert Jr. gets moved. But the White Sox still have a few moves to make here.
Yeah, this Crochet story is bizarre. I mean, I get it. We're watching NFL training camp. Guys, like, are making contract demands. This happens in sports all the time. It definitely happens in baseball. But to say I'm not going to pitch in the postseason, I've not heard.
Well, and I don't know why you would put that out there before a trade. Unless you just wanted to stay in Chicago and that was your way to try to make it happen.
You're not getting October with the White Sox.
Well, otherwise, you know, let yourself get traded somewhere, and then once the team has given up, you know, three or four big prospects for you, then you drop that hammer and say, oh, by the way, I need an extension or I'm not going to pitch the playoffs, and then they're between a rock and a hard place. Before the deadline, you're giving teams a reason not to trade for you, which I would assume that any player in that clubhouse right now would look to get to a contender versus staying in that situation right now.
Yeah, they have lost 15 games in a row and counting, and it's been bad all season long. Mark Feinsand is joining us, does a fantastic job as a national writer and insider for MLB Network, award-winning author as well. Okay, so we know some of the big names, big heavy hitter ball clubs, Mark, are definitely in the market to add. The ones that have already added, like the New York Yankees, I think are still in the market. Who are you expecting in terms of the big guns? Who are you expecting to go all in this in the next couple hours?
I think the Yankees are certainly still have some moves to make.
Which ones?
Starting pitcher. Whether that's a starter, it's definitely at least one, if not two, relievers. And I still think adding an infielder is possible because, you know, Chisholm can play the outfield as well. So maybe a guy like Luis Rengifo fits from the Angels. So I think the Yankees have a number of areas they can address. It's a matter of how many will they address. The Dodgers, I think, still looking for a starting pitcher. The Orioles, even with the addition of Zach Eflin from the Rays, I think the Orioles are still in the mix for another pitcher as well. I think all the contenders, you know, still have a hole or two they can fill. Every team could use another reliever. Tanner Scott is going to be one of the biggest guys out there today, the Marlins all-star closer. He's going to, you know, when you look at what the prices that not only rental players have commanded, but relief pitchers have commanded, the Marlins are in a really good spot to get a really nice return for 2+ months of Tanner Scott. You know, the Astros gave up 3 prospects, including their number 2 prospect last night for Yusei Kikuchi for 2 months. So teams are desperate for, desperate for pitching, and there's not all that much pitching out there. So if you're a seller that has a pitcher right now, you're loving life because you're in really good shape with heading to 6 o'clock tonight.
Mark, we're on in Toronto. What can you tell us about the future of, maybe not even today, but Vlad Guerrero Jr. As a Blue Jay?
Well, I think the immediate future is he's going to stay with the Blue Jays. The team has maintained all along throughout this whole season that they were not planning on trading Vlad or Bo Bichette or Chris Bassitt or Kevin Gausman or any of their controllable players. The question is, beyond this year, do they try to work out an extension this offseason? And if not, then they look to trade him with 1 year left. Do they just go for it again next year, try to contend? And if things blow up the way they have this year, then they could trade him before the deadline next year. It really just depends on whether Vlad wants to stay in Toronto and whether the Blue Jays' vision of his contract extension matches up with what his vision of a contract extension looks like. Because that's often where these things fall apart is, player believes he's worth $300 million, team believes he's worth $180 million, and they're not willing to budge in between. So I don't expect Vlad to be out of Toronto today. Excuse me. Sorry. It's been a long week. But I don't think he's necessarily out of Toronto long term.
Mark Fonsand is joining us, MLB.com senior national reporter, MLB Network insider. He's got his Mission 27 book, which is fantastic. In your opinion, who do you think is the biggest name that's yet to be traded that you think will be traded today?
Garrett Crochet is probably the biggest name that I think will be traded. The biggest names that we'll hear about all day are going to be Blake Snell and Tarek Skubal. Like I said before, pitching is the premium right now. Those two guys, I mean, Skubal's probably the front runner for the American League Cy Young. I don't know why Detroit would ever trade him, but with the prices that are being paid for pitching, if a team comes to them with some sort of a godfather offer, one you can't refuse, I don't know how, Scott Harris might say, I can't turn this down. It's a stupid offer by this team, and so therefore I have to do it. So Skubal, I'd put his chance of being traded at about 15%. Snell is interesting. I mean, a month ago I would have said there's no chance we're going to be talking about Blake Snell on deadline day. He was pitching, so-so all year. He was hurt. But since he came back from the injured list, he's been unbelievable in his last four starts, 15 strikeouts the other night. He's sort of a rental, maybe. He's got a $30 million option for next year. It's his option. He can opt out of the contract or trigger a $30 million contract for next year. So if he pitches great down the stretch, he's going to opt out and go back to free agency. If he pitches poorly down the stretch or gets hurt, then a team that trades for him is saddled with $30 million next year, not knowing what they're going to get out of him. So it's a tricky situation. There have been some reports that the Giants are, even after getting rid of Jorge Soler last night, that they're not going to trade Snell. They're going to go for a wild card. I still think there's a good chance he gets traded, but we've got about 9 hours to figure that out.
All right, Mark, I'm going to ask you to speculate a little bit. After the dust is settled tonight, going into the rest of the season, who's going to be the team to beat when we're done with this trade deadline?
You just asked that question because you knew I was going to say it's the Phillies.
No, I didn't think you were. I thought you were going to
for compliments.
You're not going to say the Phillies. We stink now.
I am going to say the Phillies. I've been down to that ballpark a bunch of times this year, and that's the best team I've seen in baseball this year. And I know that the Yankees beat up on them last night, and I think Aaron Judge is still hitting home runs this morning. But Zach Wheeler, Aaron Nola, Ranger Suarez, that's a really good pitching staff. I expect Dombrowski to go out and probably get one more reliever today because he's got that itchy trigger finger and can't sit out a deadline without doing something else. And that offense is relentless. So, I mean, top to bottom, I think the Phillies are the best team in the league. If the Orioles were to go out and get themselves a Tarek Skubal or Garrett Crochet, then I'd put them right there with Philly. But I think Philly right now is the team to me that's the team to beat.
I honestly thought you were going to say the Yankees or Dodgers. Why wouldn't they not be the answer?
Well, the Yankees need to add a couple of bullpen arms and maybe a rotation arm, and that's a lot to do today. Their offense outside of Judge and Soto hasn't been particularly good for 2 months. Judge and Soto are incredible, but they can't do it all themselves. So if you're going to tell me that Gleyber Torres is going to, you know, continue his recent streak of hitting, that LeMahieu is going to bounce back, that Jazz Chisholm is going to be amazing in New York, and that the bullpen is going to fix itself and start getting everybody out. Sure, the Yankees have every bit of a chance to be really good. And the Dodgers, the same thing. They're counting on Clayton Kershaw and Tyler Glasnow to stay healthy, which has not been a recipe for success many years. And, you know, Mookie Betts is still out. They've got a great top half of the lineup. The back half of the lineup is okay. Not great, but it's okay. I just think the Phillies are with their rotation and their lineup, I just think they're the better all-around team. And if I had to, you know, ask me to name which was the team to beat, right now for me it's the Phillies.
Mark, love it. What's your day like? How many phones do you have working right now? Can you take, like, a bathroom break? Or do you have to Scott Hansen this thing and go, like, red zone, no potty? Like, what's the deal for the next 9 hours?
Well, I'm heading up to MLB Network and Secaucus shortly. We are on the air for the MLB Tonight trade deadline special from 1 to 7:30. So from 1 to 7:30, it'll be running for the bathroom, during commercial breaks or if I know I'm like, there's two segments I'm not on, I can escape real quick. But from 1 to 7:30, I'll be basically in this own little tiny studio of my own, just making calls and texts and trying to break some news. So 6 o'clock is the deadline. There will be a little bit of a sigh of relief. Yeah. We're still on for another hour and a half to sort of break down everything that happened. And then I have this wonderful tradition. I have no idea how it started, but for the last several years, after the trade deadline is over, I get home from the network and my colleague Brian Hoke has sent pizza to my house.
Hoke's a good guy.
There's going to be pizza waiting for me when I get home, which is always a nice feeling.
Okay, and then tomorrow it's all about the Washington Commanders. 6.5 win total, over or under. What do you got, Feinstein? I know you are diehard.
Come on. Over. That's not even – that might be the best bet on the board this year.
Agree to disagree. No, I'm just kidding. I think they're going to be maybe hanging around. They're going to be one of those in-the-hunt teams, Mark. That was my prediction.
Quinn's going to make their defense real. If Daniels can be, 80% of what people think he can be, I like that. Look, they're not going to win the Super Bowl or anything like that, but 6.5 wins, that's the over there. I mean, that's, I think, we actually have linebackers on that team this year.
Look at you guys, linebackers and everything. Too bad Dan Quinn doesn't use those, but sure.
Right? I mean, it's very, and by the way, the answer to your question is Reggie Bush.
Reggie Bush is the greatest college football player since 2000. He's number two on my list. I put Tebow one, but...
All right, that's fine.
Reasonable minds.
That's reasonable. I'm a Reggie Bush guy.
Mark, we should mention MLB Network, more than 12 straight hours of deadline coverage starting this morning, now, 9 a.m. Eastern time. Of course, Mark's going to be a big part of that. Also, we should mention MLB Network is now available direct to consumer. You can go to MLBnetwork.com to sign up for as low as $5.99 per month. Mark, thank you so much for the time and enjoy the rest of deadline day.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
It's never something good to say about where your football team is coming from. And you say, we now have linebackers. That's like the old Bob Costas always said. I never understood when they described an injury. He has a groin. Yeah, of course he has a groin.
Yeah, that is something that would really tick off Costas.
Yeah, Costas would not have liked that. We have linebackers. What, you didn't have linebackers last year?
You know, am I the weirdo here? I realize I just asked Mark Feinstein when he was going to the bathroom. And that's indelicate question to ask another adult on national radio where we're on over 100 stations. But I would just have to say this. Would you ever watch Red Zone or any of these marathon things? Are you not trying to pick out the time when Scott Hansen is running for the loo?
That's the only thing anybody ever talks about or watches for Red Zone. Every interview my friend Andrew Siciliano has ever done, the first question is always the bathroom break. Now, Siciliano did none. Scott Hansen disappears for a part of the second game.
I know, but Hansen, he will go to the grave telling you he doesn't take a break.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hansen? Well, Siciliano, I think, was more famous for that. I think Hansen will be away from his little fake podium forever. By the way, that set is very virtual. I actually saw a picture in a paper. I've never been there.
Yeah, it's a green screen.
Yeah, I feel, Siciliano had this beautiful set in L.A. I always thought, I was fooled by the green screen around Hansen.
Wow, you really thought that was the real?
Well, Siciliano's.
Yeah, he's totally at a desk. Well, Hanson's desk at a desk.
He's got these gigantic monitors. All the games are going around him. Hanson has nothing around him. He's just got a literal green screen. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just graphics and stuff that are being superimposed in. But he will say that he doesn't take a bathroom break. And we're talking about 12 hours of commercial free football. You know, it's red zone. I find that like sickening. 12 hours to hold it. For that long.
Wait. 12 hours? What are you talking about?
Wait, how long is the commercial? 7 hours. Sorry, 7 hours.
The game starts
still
at
sickening.
1.
Sorry.
To be 12 hours. Like,
I watched football for 12 hours.
That's like a 9 overtime game.
I'm sorry. Is it 7 hours? What do they do? Commercial free football? Now I'm forgetting his tagline. But whatever it is. That feels like a lot. Do you generally hold it for 7 hours? Crickets. I'm the weird one here. Do you hold it for 7 hours, Peabody?
No.
Nick?
Can't say that I have.
Perloff?
I don't think so.
EJ?
This is during like an NFL Sunday?
Yeah, do you hold it for 7 hours?
No.
Ever? No. It's madness.
No, not at all.
Anyway.
But I mean, I'm not the great Chris Hansen, Scott Hansen. I don't have that kind of bladder control and nor the accomplishments.
Here's my question.
Stick-to-itiveness.
Here's
yes.
my question.
Yes.
Has a college basketball announcer during the tournament held it for 7 hours?
Can we get Ian on the phone?
I might.
I'm not asking him. I want to remain friends. 855.
Hey, Ian, what's up?
2-2-4-2. Hey, Birdie. It sounds like a Chris Russo question. Okay, lots to do. Thank you to Mark Feinstein who joined us. Coming up, we do have a very important conversation to ask of the Dallas Cowboys. We'll do that next.
The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. This is the hardest 2 weeks of the year to pick the Defensive Player of the Week because usually it's football, maybe a hockey goalie, you got a shot blocker in basketball. Now we have 8,000 sports because of the Olympics. I mean, you could go with the best fencer. You could go with field hockey. I mean, I don't even know where to begin here, Maggie.
Yeah, you could go with the best fencer.
You need a lot of defense in fencing.
Is that a dad joke? Okay, I got one for you maybe that EJ's doing here. You would agree, I know sometimes you guys don't like it when I say pitchers are defensive players. I know you don't like that. But you would agree that a catcher is a defensive player, obviously,
well,
right?
Well, certain catchers, yeah, like Molina, yeah.
So, did you guys see James McCann yesterday?
A famously offensive-oriented catcher, but yes.
Well, I'm just saying, he got hit in the face and stayed in the game with half of his face, like, blown up. Bogus, you're the newsman here. He has a terribly broken nose, fractured orbital bones, it looks like, all over his face. He looks like he fell down a tree and hit every branch, and he wanted to stay in the game.
And he did stay in the game. He had to change his jersey. There was so much blood on it while he was trying to get to first base to run and get hit in the face. And then the craziest part to me is the picture of him after the game. There's so much swelling.
Yeah.
There's almost no definition to his nose anymore.
Do you remember the scene in Fight Club when they beat up Jared Leto?
Oh, yeah.
That was one that will stay with me for a while. His face looks like that. And so he stayed in the game and continued to catch. So I think that would qualify him for Defensive Player of the Week.
All right, mm-hmm. I still thought you were talking about Brian McCann halfway through that conversation. You're talking about somebody completely different.
Yeah, yes. James McCann.
Yeah, when I said offensive catcher.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll say somebody on Team USA Women's Basketball who had like 7 blocks. That's my guess.
Is this woman of a name?
No, just someone. I guess Brittany Griner. I don't know.
So it is someone on Team USA. It's someone who did not have 7 blocks, but they did have 4 blocks. The defensive player this week is Asia Wilson. Had 4 blocks in Team USA's opening game win against Japan. She also added 13 rebounds to that game. So Asia Wilson, dominant performance in Team USA's debut at the Olympics. She is the defensive player of the week.
Now, wait, there's a crazy tall player in this field, right? One team I saw that Griner's going to have to go up against. And I'm sorry, I don't have the team.
China, right?
I think so. There's a very, very tall player that it's going to be really fun to watch. I don't know if they're going to match up, but people are talking about the center matchup down the road.
Can't wait for that.
I believe it's China.
Yeah, wait till you see this. I'll show you the picture later. Anyway, that's going to be fun. I knew you were going WNBA or women's basketball. That was so obvious.
Well, I mean, listen.
Asia Wilson
is the best player in the tournament, right?
I'm sorry. When's the last time the women lost a gold medal?
1992.
Yeah, you don't get credit for these dream teams out going out there winning. I expected more out of you, EJ.
Bogus has headlines for us. What's up today, Bogus?
Did you see, by the way, that game, USA Basketball yesterday, by like 5,000 was the lowest attended women's game so far?
Oh, really? Because everyone thought it wouldn't be dramatic?
I guess. Or, I mean, I don't think that's all people not be able to see Caitlin Clark, but every other game was like north of 18,000, some over 20, and this one was 13 and change.
That's interesting.
Those are the last game of the day. I don't know if that mattered.
So you're saying
one of those
numbers
carry over next. One of those numbers will carry over to the next game. I know there was a person there with a sign, a Caitlin Clark sign, to troll Team USA.
Yes.
So I know there is some dissension for sure because of that.
But you wouldn't leave the stadium because if you're in France, you wouldn't leave because Caitlin Clark wasn't there. I mean, you're staying for two other random countries?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's still Team USA. Yeah. Maybe USA-Japan was not a matchup people wanted, but the other games drew well, and that one, for whatever reason, had a tail off at the end of the day.
I think the spread on the game was like 17 or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the gold medal rematch from the last Olympics, yeah.
And I think, if I'm not mistaken, that was like, I guess in France, like a later evening
game. Yeah, 9 o'clock start. So maybe just the end of the day was the bigger issue.
Maybe, and I think that probably some other big events were happening. Maybe medal rounds were happening, other events.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Okay, by the way, I'm sorry. The Chinese player is 7'3", and she's too young to play on this Olympic team. She is on some of their international teams, but she is not on the Olympic team. 7'3".
Wow.
And good. So that'll be fun to watch.
Well, you asked for this, Perloff, and since we're non-friends, I deliver it after a two-hour delay. This is Snoop on badminton.
Oh, I love this badminton right here. This is a great rally right here between China and the U.S. right here. As you see it, don't stop till the casket drop. They rocking and rolling back and forth. Give me that. No, I need that. Nope, over here. Nope, over there. What about over there? Nope, what about there? Nope, give me that. I need that. That too. Nope, sit down somewhere. Get out. Get off. Wait a minute. Hold it way up in the sky. Now down. Back up. Over there. Now over here. Get out the way. Move. I told you we need that.
That was a good point.
That's live.
Wow.
Highlight call Snoop and Mike Tirico on NBC.
Why are Mike Tirico and Snoop doing badminton? Like, how did that happen? Whatever, it's great.
Also, why does weirdly Snoop and Martha Stewart feel like more of a pair than Snoop and Mike Tirico?
Yeah, definitely.
I feel like Snoop and Martha have more in common.
They're iconic.
They are. I guess, like, Snoop, this is easy for him. You know? He talks for a living. Yeah. Like, he speaks. He's a poet, you know? He can do this with his eyes closed. Well, maybe not eyes closed, but you know what I'm saying.
I just never see the badminton announcer try and call every single point because it goes so fast. He's like, give me that. I got that. Give him that. Ooh, he's got that down there, up there. Like, badminton, don't you? I mean, you're a broadcaster, right? Don't you lay back a little bit? Do you try and go shot by shot?
Definitely can't go shot for shot. you'd drive yourself insane. Maybe Doc Emmerich could have gone shot for shot. He's the only
Doc
person.
Emmerich was insane.
It's a
he
wild
was a
to
savant.
Do that.
And he knew all four lines of every team ever. But you're right. I think Snoop has to call. I mean, people are calling for Snoop to call everything now. They want him on the gold medal USA men's basketball team.
Dwayne Wade.
He's ruining the entire NBC broadcast because it's anybody but him. And they're like, wow, it's not Snoop.
We had Canada men's basketball resounding 93-83 defeat of Australia today. Knicks fans missing RJ Barrett, 24 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, leading Canada to that win. That followed Spain down in Greece, 84-77 in the other Group A meeting. Giannis with 27 points, 11 boards, and 3 assists, but his country now 0-2. Coco Gauff knocked out in round 3 of women's tennis, but Taylor Fritz did rally to beat England's Jack Draper in 3 sets on the men's side. And today's men's triathlon delayed to tomorrow because of poor water quality in the River Sim. Warm-up sessions didn't happen yesterday or Sunday either. You guys asked about this. Your friend Matthew Futterman broke it down at The Athletic. There is no secondary site for the swim. There's no clean body of water big enough for the event that's close enough to the bike and the running courses. So worst case scenario, they would just eliminate the swimming and just do a, they called it a duathlon, not a biathlon.
What?
Yeah.
They do that in New York.
Well, yeah, because you got to be clinically insane to swim in the water in New York.
Well, it's not a triathlon then.
Right.
Yeah, it's definitely not. I can't. Okay, so there's no plan B.
Right. Now, Matt, in Matthew's article, he says the swim is the least important part of the race, that it has almost, it has no value in terms of deciding who wins or who loses. The running and the bike is what decides the actual outcome. So there's no, lopping it off is not, doesn't change the dynamic of the race.
So swimming a mile does not have any impact on who wins.
His article says you don't win and you don't lose the triathlon in the swimming portion.
Because they do swimming first, right? Because obviously you don't want someone to be so tired they drown, right?
I don't know. Do they start first?
I always thought the swimming was first.
I don't know the order. I know. You, I think I you no run idea. To finish.
I think you get out of the water and get onto the bike, no?
And then you run? I thought they would have put the swimming in the middle to give you a break from being land.
There's only three of these. We should be able to figure this out. We all have computers. Can someone on the other side of the glass look up the order of the triathlon?
No, Pete's busy not doing Pete work.
He's creating the schedule for the next month, which is putting Sudoku on the hardest level.
I'm getting ready to run out the door.
That's your triathlon.
That's true. Yes.
I have an hour left. I'm seeing on the internet a swim followed by a cycle followed by run.
Okay.
I thought it was always swim first because you don't want someone to be so tired that they would drown. I'm talking about for like amateur people, not the Olympic people.
Oh, I was about to say, is that a real fear that people are going to drown?
I don't know.
Yeah, it does make sense.
It just makes that, that seems odd to me. So you could come in dead last in swimming. You could be 10 minutes behind the last person, and it makes, has no impact on whether you win the race.
Totally with Maggie. That does not, I don't buy it. I got to see the analytics.
So call your friend.
Matt Futterman?
Yeah.
Yeah, call him, Perlo.
Typical Futterman.
Yeah, I'm last week.
Typical Futterman. Discounting swimming. That's so like him.
Now, my question is, should they have to do either biking or running twice? I think in the New York City, when they did New York City Triathlon, I was covering it, and I think when they couldn't do swim for some reason, it was weather or whatever, they had to do, I think, running twice. Like, they did the run, then they did a bike, then they ran again. I think you should have to do three different things or three stages. So I think they should have to either run or bike again.
Honestly, let's get creative here. How about break dancing for the first, and then you get on the bike, and then you run? Or let's, you know.
What's something that you could race?
Why don't you just get in a pool?
Rollerblade. Get in a pool?
Why not just get in the pool?
It's not bad.
Oh, have them do like a certain amount of laps, maybe?
Exactly. Yeah. Like do 100 laps and then go.
You know how cool that would be to have them? I mean, maybe it would be an outdoor pool, but if it was an indoor pool, have them in an indoor pool and watching them run out of the arena. You want to make this a real
put the
like
shoes on as they're running?
Make this a fan interactive. Like they got to run through like the crowd. They got to run up the stairs through the stands to get outside the building to run.
It'd be funny. Yeah. If you had people in the way trying to like mess them up. If it was in our building, you would never get out.
Because
you have to go through a maze now to get into our building that we can't. I don't even know how to describe. Like Alice in Wonderland.
You need about seven key cards, too.
It's like the that scene where Ray Liotta walks through the back of the restaurant in Goodfellas. That's us every morning.
It's like Get Smart when you're walking through the doors. Like five doors.
I don't know if this must be the new trend in office buildings because it's like trying to create some sort of outdoor space when it's clearly inside. So everything's now covered in moss.
Right. So
and there's flowers in places where there's no sunlight.
And there's no need for it. Like, this is, think, is going to last for a while, but this is not, like, the permanent way we're going to come into the building down the road. So, like, we're walking through, like, back halls and, like, the freight area. It does not need to be decorated.
No. Nope.
So it's
like,
funny.
Buy me pens or microphone covers. I don't need moss. My walk to the elevator feels nicer.
Easy, Bogus. Microphone covers. I mean, let's not get crazy.
Those pens will get stolen so fast, Bogus. It's not even worth it.
The flowers off the wall are going to get pilfered.
We should do an Instagram live of this, of the new entrance of the building. We're going it through it. If you're listening, we're just going through a different way, and it's the fanciest lobby I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And then it leads to this other more fancy things. It so does not fit this place. Let me just put it that way.
But and also, there's one section that's so tight, I get a little dizzy going through it because you also like lose the air conditioning, so it's like stagnant.
Yeah,
it's weird. It's weird.
And they're like little signs like, this way, you're almost there. It's like, am I being led to my death? What's going on in here?
And I feel like it's added 15 minutes to every commute.
Absolutely. That's the worst part. And it's nowhere near where we park anymore. It's not good.
Oh, I was wondering that if that actually helped you guys to come in on the back side of the building.
It doesn't help me. It helps other people.
Have we complained enough about work?
That's
100% was.
It's going to be great having that bad knee, having to walk an extra 15 minutes to get to work next
EJ.
Month. That's going to be awesome.
Oh, you poor guy.
What a shame.
Stay home another month. That's fine. Pete doesn't care.
It's a quarter mile walk. It's basically the third leg of the Paris triathlon together.
If we could just if we could flood the lobby, maybe they could just swim it. And then we'd be in good shape.
We're right by the water, so yeah, you're about a block away from it.
Yeah, that's true. Right by the Hudson. No pollution in that thing.
Technically, it was the Yankees, but in reality, there are no winners when the Yanks and Phillies play.
Oh. Chisholm hits it in the air to deep left. Back to the wall goes Hayes. Up against the wall, leaps, and that ball is gone. Jazz Chisholm right in the front row. Oh, how about that? Smooth Jazz. His first one as a Yankee and number 14 on the season.
He hates it.
I know. I love Ricky Ricardo. I have a
Oh, is that Ricky?
Oh, yeah. God, yeah.
Oh, the best.
I've got a deep... This is tough because I like all of these guys who have filled in for Sterling. You know, Emmanuel has worked on the show before.
Great.
He's a delight. I don't know Justin Shackle, but I think he does a great job.
And sucks as a person.
And he's a serial killer in real life. But
complete
like,
zero.
Really got on that Domingo Germán perfect game. And then Ricky, I've hosted shows with. I have a deep respect for Ricky Ricardo. Just the Rick James stories alone is...
He's friends with Rick James?
You got to sit down with Ricky.
Oh, he's the best. He also does Eagles games in the fall.
Yeah,
he's
does.
The best.
Yeah. So this
I don't like that highlight. He's been, I told Bogus this morning, you're not allowed to play Yankees Phillies highlights.
And I did. Jazz Chisholm with the first two homers of his Yankee
career.
That's
even more obnoxious.
Aaron Judge also went deep twice, giving him 39 long balls and 99 RBI for the season on a 14-4 route in Philly. The Mets roughed up the Twins 15-2. To snap a two-game skid. And the Red Sox outscored the Mariners 14-7. Boston stays a game behind the Royals for the last AL wild card. No moves yet this morning ahead of the 6 Eastern trade deadline. The Giants did unload free agent signing Jorge Soler on the Braves last night, but are expected to keep big money starter Blake Snell. Soler left Atlanta for San Francisco over the winter. The Braves taking on his entire contract, including the $26 million Soler is due next season. Guys, back to you.
By the way, you forgot to mention big morning for a friend of mine.
Which one? And are they still your friends after Friday?
Dr. Rock?
No, I saw him yesterday. He did have a big afternoon. I could say it, but a friend of mine had a nice game today.
Today? In Paris.
In Paris at the Olympics.
A friend of yours?
A personal friend of Andrew Perloff.
World champion fencer?
Nope.
What's Case Keenum doing there?
Case is at Texans training camp, about to win a Super Bowl.
Okay.
Andy Dalton, I don't think, is an Olympian.
No.
Could be. That guy can fence.
I don't think Paul Papp or anybody else, those guys are doing anything in Paris.
Wait, you have a close personal friend who's already won something this morning?
Why don't we take a break and I'll share it for you after the break.
What a
tease.
No,
I got to stick around.
I also want to hear why Dr. Rock had such a big afternoon.
Just because you got to hang out with Andrew Perloff.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Which one of Perloff's close personal friends already is at a big day at the Olympics? 855-212-4227. Man, Perloff has us completely flummoxed here.
Andrew Bogus is still sitting in. Welcome back, Maggie Perloff. Bogus, what was one of the scores you gave us last sports update?
Like the one that just happened?
Yes.
I gave you two basketball scores and two tennis results.
And would you read the basketball scores and see if you can figure it out from there?
Canada beat Australia 93-83.
And it is not Jock Landau on Australia.
Okay. So it's somebody on Canada.
Nope.
No?
Not Canada.
Okay, so then is it Spain or Greece? Because Spain beat Greece 84-77.
And who have I worked with that is on one of those two teams?
Oh, Juancho.
Juancho? Oh, Hernan Gomez. Bo Cruz. What does it feel like to go to the combine? You forgot about Juancho Hernan Gomez.
Oh. Damn it.
7 minutes, 2 points. My buddy Bo Cruz from the movie Hustle is at the Olympics, Maggie. And by the way, no bigger fan of Juancho Hernan Gomez than Maggie, because about 20 minutes of a shirtless Juancho was interesting to Maggie.
Yeah, to be honest, was not that familiar with his game.
Still not.
Yeah. Could really care less.
He was the original French diver.
Really popped off screen, that Juancho. He's got a future. But
yeah, Juancho Hernan Gomez is on the team, played a little bit. His brother is one of the stars of the Spain team.
Did Juancho get a DM on Friday from you?
No, Juancho and I are not friends. Juancho is way too cool to be on Twitter.
Okay.
He might be on Instagram, but yeah, he's got a lot going on. No, we're not close friends.
How can we forget that Perloff is in one of the great sports movies easily of the last decade?
Yes.
And that's the movie Hustle, and Juancho Hernan Gomez, where Perloff played reporter number two and had four lines in the movie, guys. He was excellent. You were, no BS. You were great.
Thank you. It's a bit of an overstatement. But I was actually looking at the box scores. I'm like, how did Spain beat Giannis? I'm like, the Gasols are not still on the team, are they? So I went to the box score. I said, oh, there's no Gasols, but there's a lot of Hernan Gomez's. My guy.
Yeah, Juancho.
And Willie.
And Willie is the other one.
Yeah.
Oh, this is important. Big Friendly is on the line straight from California. Big Friendly, how you been?
I'm doing all right, trying to dodge these Northern California fires around me, but I'm doing good. So good morning, Nick, the doorman. Hey, EJ, the EP, I hope you get better and get back soon. Bilotti Gotti, the man with the milk dud, like Big Friendly that the women love to rub. 411 / the Yellow Pages, Magsie Malone, and the one and only Daddy Cool, good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
Friendly, so glad you're safe.
Yeah.
And you know, we're thinking about everyone who has to deal with these wildfires. It feels like every summer we're going through this. But what's on your mind when it comes to sports?
Well, real quick, can we please stop having segments on the Dallas No Wild Girls? Can we stop doing that? And, Magsie, I need you to understand something.
Yeah.
I'm like that great white shark that is constantly circling the fair lines. I'm just underneath the water and will breach when necessary, and I'm breaching. So, Daddy Cool, me and you got an issue.
Okay.
I love you, and you're the man. But when you went back for that second big glob of mayonnaise, for that lime jello, my man, I could have jumped through the screen. Now, that's why Magsie is the Don, because when she took that first bite and spit it out and then went back and did the bet, nothing but respect.
Yeah, thank you.
No.
So with that, real quick, Magsie.
Yeah.
You're a betting lady.
Yes.
And Magsie, I have a memory like an elephant. And I'm still a little heartbroken about the bubble championships disrespect.
Oh.
So I believe when we talked about it, you said if Buffalo won, you'd still have your face painted. You'd be a little bit of molten ice sluggish. So let's make a bet, because I just realized that Buffalo's coming to Inglewood. Now, Magsie, you're on a public platform. Every day I work in the public, going to hospitals and all kinds of things. Can we make a bet, the Rams and Bills, that if the Rams win, you got to come to work that Monday with at least the LA symbol painted on your face? And if the Bills win, I will send you a video of me going around the hospitals and other places picking up patients with the Buffalo Bills written on my face. Can we make that bet?
I would be delighted to make that bet with you. Not only that, we've got a Rams necklace in here that we bought at the Super Bowl a couple years ago. I could deck out in full Rams gear.
Hey, Magsie, I got you. I don't want to say sweetheart because I know sometimes that sounds disrespectful.
But
Magsie, I got you. I got so much Ram, I call it paraphernalia, that it's overflowing my houses. When people come over and open doors and closets, they're like, what is all this? I don't got no room.
Big Friendly, when the Bills go to L.A., take over the stadium with Bills Mafia and beat your Rams, I'd be more than happy to have you dressed up in Bills gear, Friendly. You know we love you. Thank you. We're just flat out of time. Great to hear from Big Friendly.
Get a little betting action going. This is fun.
Do you understand December 8th in L.A., Bills Mafia has been frozen solid for like 2.5 months? Thank you, Pete. Thank you, Nick. Sorry, Pearl.
They have to get out of the airport first, man.
Thank you, Bogish. Kaplan, EJ.
The building down the road. So, like, we're walking through, like, back halls and, like, the freight area. it does not need to be decorated.
No. Nope.
So it's
like,
funny.
Buy me pens or microphone covers. I don't need moss.
Hey,
the
chairs.
My walk to the elevator feels nicer.
Easy, Bogus. Microphone covers. I mean, let's not get crazy.
Those pens will get stolen so fast, Bogus. It's not even worth it.
The flowers off the wall are going to get pilfered.
We should do Instagram live of this, of the new entrance of the building. We're going it through it. If you're listening, we're just going through a different way, and it's the fanciest lobby I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And then it leads to this other more fancy things. It so does not fit this place. Let me just put it that way.
But and also, there's one section that's so tight, I get a little dizzy going through it because you also like lose the air conditioning, so it's like stagnant.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's weird.
And they're like little signs like, this way, you're almost there. It's like, am I being led to my death? What's going on in here?
And I feel like it's added 15 minutes to every commute.
Absolutely. That's the worst part. And it's nowhere near where we park anymore. It's not good.
Oh, I was wondering that if that actually helped you guys to come in on the back side of the building.
It doesn't help me. It helps other people.
Have we complained enough about work?
No, I was just wondering that.
I 100% was.
It's going to be great having that bad knee, having to walk on that for 15 minutes to get to work next
EJ.
Month. That's going to be awesome.
Oh, you poor guy.
What a shame.
Stay home another month. That's fine. Pete doesn't care.
It's a quarter mile walk. It's basically the third leg of the Paris triathlon together.
If we could just if we could flood the lobby, maybe they could just swim it. And then we'd be in good shape.
We're right by the water, so you're about a block away from it.
Yeah, that's true. Right by the Hudson. No pollution in that thing.
Technically, it was the Yankees, but in reality, there are no winners when the Yanks and Phillies play.
Oh. Chisholm hits it in the air to deep left. Back to the wall goes Hayes. Up against the wall, leaps, and that ball is gone. Jazz Chisholm right in the front row. Oh, how about that? Smooth Jazz, his first one as a Yankee and number 14 on the season.
Yeah, he hates it.
I love Ricky Ricardo. I have a
deep... is that Ricky?
Oh, yeah. God, yeah.
Oh, the best.
I've got a deep... This is tough because I like all of these guys who have filled in for Sterling. You know, Emmanuel has worked on the show before.
Great.
He's a delight. I don't know Justin Shackle, but I think he does a great job. And
sucks as a person.
Sure. And he's a serial killer in real life.
Complete
but like,
zero.
Really good on that Domingo Germán perfect game. And then Ricky, I've hosted shows with. I have a deep respect for Ricky Ricardo. Just the Rick James stories alone is...
He's friends with Rick James?
You got to sit down with Ricky.
Oh, he's the best. He also does Eagles games in the fall.
Yeah,
he's the best.
Yeah. So this
I don't like that highlight. I told Bogus this morning, you're not allowed to play Yankees Phillies highlights.
And I did. Jazz Chisholm with the first two homers of his Yankee
that's
career.
That's even more obnoxious.
Aaron Judge also went deep twice, giving him 39 long balls and 99 RBI for the season on a 14-4 route in Philly. The Mets roughed up the Twins 15-2. To snap a two-game skid, and the Red Sox outscored the Mariners 14-7. Boston stays a game behind the Royals for the last AL wild card. No moves yet this morning ahead of the 6 Eastern trade deadline. The Giants did unload free agent signing Jorge Soler on the Braves last night, but are expected to keep big money starter Blake Snell. Soler left Atlanta for San Francisco over the winter, the Braves taking on his entire contract, including the $26 million Soler is due next season. Guys, back to you.
By the way, you forgot to mention big morning for a friend of mine.
Which one? And are they still your friends after Friday?
Dr. Rock?
No, I saw him yesterday. He did have a big afternoon. No, I could say it, but a friend of mine had a nice game today.
Today? In Paris.
In Paris at the Olympics.
A friend of yours?
A personal friend of Andrew Perloff's.
World champion fencer?
Nope.
What's Case Keenum doing there?
Case is at Texans training camp, about to win a Super Bowl.
Okay.
Andy Dalton, I don't think is an Olympian.
No.
Could be. That guy can fence.
I don't think Paul Papps or anybody else, those guys are doing anything in Paris.
Wait, you have a close personal friend who's already won something this morning?
Why don't we take a break and I'll share it for you after the break.
What a
tease.
I
got to stick around.
I also want to hear why Dr. Rock had such a big afternoon.
Right. A lot of things.
Just so you got to hang out with Andrew Perloff.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Which one of Perloff's close personal friends already is at a big day at the Olympics? 855-212-4227. Man, Perloff has us completely flummoxed here.
Andrew Bogus is still sitting in. Welcome back, Maggie Perloff. Bogus, what was one of the scores you gave us last sports update.
Like the one that just happened?
Yes.
I gave you two basketball scores and two tennis results.
And would you read the basketball scores and see if you can figure it out from there?
Canada beat Australia 93-83.
And it is not Jock Landale on Australia.
Okay. So it's somebody on Canada.
Nope.
No?
Not Canada.
Okay. So then is it Spain or Greece? Because Spain beat Greece 84-77.
And who have I worked with that is on one of those two teams?
Oh, Juancho.
Juancho? Oh, Hernan Gomez. Bo Cruz. What does it feel like to go to the combine? You forgot about Juancho Hernan Gomez.
Oh. Damn it.
7 minutes, 2 points. My buddy Bo Cruz from the movie Hustle is at the Olympics, Maggie. And by the way, no bigger fan of Juancho Hernan Gomez than Maggie, because about 20 minutes of a shirtless Juancho was interesting to Maggie.
Yeah, to be honest, was not that familiar with his game.
Still not.
Yeah. Could really care less.
He was the original French diver.
Really popped off screen, that Juancho. He's got a future. But
yeah, Juancho Hernan Gomez is on the team, played a little bit. His brother is one of the stars of the Spain team.
Did Juancho get a DM on Friday from you?
No, Juancho and I are not friends. Juancho is way too cool to be on Twitter.
Okay.
He might be on Instagram, but yeah, he's got a lot going on. No, we're not close friends.
How can we forget that Perloff is in one of the great sports movies, easily of the last decade?
Yes.
And that's the movie Hustle, and Juancho Hernan Gomez, where Perloff played reporter number two and had four lines in the movie, guys. He was excellent. You were, no BS. You were great.
Thank you. It's a bit of an overstatement. But I was actually looking at the box scores. I'm like, how did Spain beat Giannis? I'm like, the Gasols are not still on the team, are they? So I went to the box score. I said, oh, there's no Gasols, but there's a lot of Hernan Gomez's. My guy.
Yeah, Juancho.
And Willie.
And Willie is the other one.
Yeah.
Oh, this is important. Big Friendly is on the line straight from California. Big Friendly, how you been?
I'm doing all right, trying to dodge these Northern California fires around me, but I'm doing good. So good morning, Nick, the doorman. Hey, EJ, the EP, I hope you get better and get back soon. Bilotti Gotti, the man with the milk dud, like Big Friendly that the women love to rub. 411 / the Yellow Pages, Magsy Malone, and the one and only Daddy Cool, good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
Friendly, so glad you're safe.
Yeah.
And you know, we're thinking about everyone who has to deal with these wildfires. It feels like every summer we're going through this. But what's on your mind when it comes to sports?
Well, real quick, can we please stop having segments on the Dallas No Wow Girls? Can we stop doing that? And, Magsy, I need you to understand something.
Yeah.
I'm like that great white shark that is constantly circling the Fairlawns. I'm just underneath the water and will breach when necessary, and I'm breaching. So, Daddy Cool, me and you got an issue.
Okay.
I love you, and you're the man. But when you went back for that second big glob of mayonnaise, for that lime jello, my man, I could have jumped through the screen. Now, that's why Magsy is the Don, because when she took that first bite and spit it out and then went back and did the bet, nothing but respect.
Yeah, thank you.
No.
So with that, real quick, Magsy.
Yeah.
You're a betting lady.
Yes.
And Magsy, I have a memory like an elephant. And I'm still a little heartbroken about the bubble championships disrespect.
Oh.
So I believe when we talked about it, you said if Buffalo won, you'd still have your face painted. You'd be a little bit of molten ice sluggish. So let's make a bet, because I just realized that Buffalo's coming to Inglewood. Now, Magsy, you're on a public platform. Every day I work in the public, going to hospitals and all kinds of things. Can we make a bet, the Rams and Bills, that if the Rams win, you got to come to work that Monday with at least the LA symbol painted on your face? And if the Bills win,
okay,
I will send you a video of me going around the hospitals and other places picking up patients with the Buffalo Bills written on my face. Can we make that bet?
I would be delighted to make that bet with you. Not only that, we've got a Rams necklace in here that we bought at the Super Bowl years ago. I could deck out in full Rams gear.
Hey, Magsy, I got you. I don't want to say sweetheart because I know sometimes that sounds disrespectful.
But
Magsy, I got you. I got so much Ram, I call it paraphernalia, that it's overflowing my houses. When people come over and open doors and closets, they're like, what is all this? I don't got no room.
Big friendly. When the Bills go to L.A., take over the stadium with Bills Mafia and beat your Rams, I'd be more than happy to have you dressed up in Bills care friendly. You know we love you. Thank you. We're just flat out of time. Great to hear from Big Friendly.
Get a little betting action going. This is fun.
Do you understand December 8th in L.A., Bills Mafia has been frozen solid for like 2.5 months? Thank you, Pete. Thank you, Nick. Sorry, Pearl.
They have to get out of the airport first, man.
Thank you, Bogish. Kaplan, EJ.